Conspiracy of murder against the guilty. If witnesses conspire against someone who really is guilty, unknown to them, they are still punished. Meaning maybe they said this guy killed someone and he really did, but they didn't know. So they still get punished. Why is that? However, if they conspire against a murderer claiming to a court that he is a fugitive from another court who convicted him as a murderer already, and this truly happened but unknown to the witnesses, then these witnesses are not punished. So if they said a conspiracy against a murderer this time, because he really did murder and he was convicted as a murderer, then they do not get punished. So we have to see, what is the principle or the reason, the rationale for these two cases? And the answer is, in the first scenario, the conspiring witnesses were attempting to have a man executed who was not yet sentenced to death by the court. And some say that he could have been spared execution by confessing. Some hold that that's the law. If you confess before they sentence you, then you don't get killed. Not if you confess right before they're going to kill you. Anyone would confess then. It has to be before they sentence the guy. Not everyone agrees to this. So the main point is, whether he would have been spared execution or not by confessing, still this was before sentencing. So the guy was not sentenced to death yet, even though he would have been. So these witnesses were trying to do something to a person that he didn't have yet happen to him yet. And that's why they would have to get the same reciprocal punishment, which is the death sentence that they tried to impose on him. Now, however, once the defendant has been sentenced, as in the second scenario, because it was already from a court, it's as though he's already dead. And so the witnesses weren't going to do to him something that wasn't going to happen to him anyway. So when that's the case, then we don't kill the witnesses because they weren't going to do anything to him. Again, that wasn't going to happen anyway. And this is only if they conspired that he was convicted from a court to be a murderer. And obviously he must have escaped or whatever it is. If that was their claim, so then they do not get executed because they ended up having a conspiracy, not just against someone who was guilty, but against someone who was sentenced. And that makes the difference. Now, the connection here is it's the Mishnah related. It's connected to the Mishnah. It's not directly on the Mishnah's words. And it's the same author as the previous sugya, which is Rava, as we're going to see now in the Gemara. It says, Ve'amar Rava, and Rava also said, because he's saying another thing. Ba'u shenayim ve'amru, two conspiring witnesses came to court and said, Bechad b'shabbeta, on the first day of Shabbat, which means Sunday, harag pelonita nefesh, this guy so-and-so killed someone. And they're saying they witnessed it. Now, Sunday it happened, they said. Let's assume they're at court on Tuesday, relating the story. Now, Ubao Shenaim ve'amru, the second pair of witnesses come that's going to tell them that they were lying. They say, Imanu heitem bechad b'shabbata. It can't be true what you're saying because you were with us on Sunday. Meaning, it can't be true that you know anything. Maybe the whole thing is true, but we don't know. You certainly don't know. Like we always explain, that's what Edim Zomimin is about, that they were somewhere else. It's not about the case. It's about the witnesses. Ela betrei b'shabbat harag pelonita nefesh. This is their keep talking. They said, you were with us on Sunday, but it just so happens on Monday, this guy did kill someone. So it ends up that they were lying about someone who at the end is a murderer. And v'lo od, not only that, just to emphasize, Ella afilu amru, even if the witnesses said, the conspiring witnesses said, Erev Shabbat harag pelunita nefesh, on Friday this guy killed someone, Then Neheragin, these false witnesses are killed because they were making up a story, even though it ended up being correct at the end. Debi'idana shebizman, because at the time, dekama sahadi, sheha'idu, that they were giving testimony, gavra lav bar kitalahu. This man, this ish, was not ben mavet. He was not sentenced to death yet. So by this defendant not being sentenced to death yet, it means they were trying to have him killed even though the court did not have him to be killed yet, even if they would have. But at this point in time, it was not done to him in the court. So that's why it's still considered that they would get reciprocal punishment for what they tried to do. Now, some commentators hold that since it's before the sentence, as in monetary cases, the guy can confess and then he's off the hook from being executed. Not everyone agrees to that. But that's also part of this because it means he didn't have to get executed. So this is a guy that did not have to get executed. He could have confessed. So now the Edim Zomimim are trying to get him executed when he has a chance to not be executed. Now we have to understand why the Gemara had to say maybe he was executed on a Monday, and then not only that, even if they said he was executed on Friday, what does it matter which day? Why was the Gemara stressing the difference of the day? So really it was like this. It's Tuesday, and the plotting witnesses are coming in to say that Sunday, this poor defendant that they didn't know he did anything, they're trying to get him in trouble and say that he killed someone on Sunday. Now, good, real witnesses say that you couldn't have known that. You were with us. But we happen to have seen that he did kill someone after all, but on Monday. Now, by being that it was on Monday, it means when the plotting witnesses said Sunday, so nothing even happened yet. So you would think for sure they're conspiring witnesses because they're trying to show that they killed even when they did not kill yet. So we should give reciprocal punishment, which is what it says, Neheragin. But then the Gemara wanted to say, Velo od ela, meaning not only that, but to stress the point even more, to say, even if the second witnesses continued to say, you were with us, but really he killed on Friday, meaning that's the real case. The second witnesses are saying that. So you would think now, oh, so the guy actually did kill before the Sunday. So maybe now he's considered like it's the next case where he's considered a guilty man and he's going to be killed anyway. So maybe we should leave the plotting witnesses alone because he, after all, did kill already when Sunday arrived. He's already a murderer. So that's why they're stressing that. Even that, we're going to consider that they plotted against an innocent man and we're going to kill the witnesses. That's what it's coming to teach us. And we're going to see the converse of it in the upcoming case. First, the Gemara asks, "Mai kamashmalan, ma mashmialanu?" What are we learning from this? Why does the Gemara have to tell us this? We know this from a Mishnah, Tanena. We learned in Mishnah, which is in this Makot, Mishnah number 9 of the first Perek. It's all part of this Edim Zomimin. And it talks about if groups of witnesses see an event, that they don't combine unless they see each other. You can look in the Mishnah to see more details. But there's a point of it that relates here, where it says, Lefichach nimset achat mehen zomemet. If it turns out that one group of witnesses were plotting, and then, of course, you have another set that did see the defendant do something, murder or whatever it is. So it says, Hu vehen neheragin veshenia pitura. Who is him, which is the defendant, he gets killed, vehen, and them, meaning the plotting witnesses. They get neheragin, killed, but the second group who were honest, Pitura, does not get schlepped along with the other witnesses. They're considered a separate group, and they are left alone. So here we see it's possible to have where the defendant gets to be executed, and also the witnesses are executed. Usually you say it's only when the defendant is not executed. That's usually the rule. That's when you'll execute the witnesses, like Kasher Zamam, when what they plotted and not what happened. But this is a special case, because one group got the guy in trouble, the defendant, and one group did lie. So it ends up that the defendant and the lying group has to get killed. So anyway, we see this principle that it's possible to have the defendant and the witnesses be executed. So we didn't need Rava to tell us this. It's already in the Mishnah. So the answer is, it says Sefa. We needed the end remark of Rava is what we learned something from. Masha'en ken bigmar din. That's the end remark, which is not so at the end of the judgment, meaning where the sentence is said from the judges. It's terichale. This is what's needed for it, meaning we need that sentence to teach us something. And what's the case now? Ba'u shenayim ve'amru. Two people came plotting, and they said, Bechad v'shabata negmar dino shel pinoni. On Sunday, this person had a beit din, a sentencing. Not just that he murdered. He was sentenced in court that he is a murderer and he has to be executed. And they're saying, we saw that. Ubau shenayim v'amru. Now two other witnesses come and say, v'amru bechad b'shabata manu hayitem. You were with us on Sunday, so you couldn't have seen anything. Ela be'erev shabbat nigmar dino shel piloni. But they continue that it just so happened that it is true the guy was sentenced for execution, but it happened to have been on Friday. But even if they said, even if they said that on Monday he was actually sentenced, again, we'll see why it has to say the double language, then in both of these cases, the plotting witnesses are not killed. Because at the time that they were testifying, Gavra bar ketalahu. This guy, he was sentenced to death already. So it's like killing someone that's already dead, because he was sentenced to be executed already. And as far as the confession goes, of course, when they're ready to kill you, that's not the time to confess, because then everyone would confess and get out of it. For those that hold that a confession can allow him, a defendant who murdered, to not be executed, it has to be before the judges say the sentence and make the ruling. You know, sometimes they figure, I'm not going to get caught. They're not going to say guilty on me. So that's why they don't say anything. And then it's too late once they say guilty and he has to be executed. So now he cannot confess anymore. It's not going to do him any good. So once he's considered and it's already determined that he has to be executed, so now the Edim Zomimin, of course, even though they did something terrible, but they never changed the status of the guy at the end. So that's why we don't have to kill them. Now let's see over here, again, why the Gemara had to tell us if the guy killed on Friday or on Monday, which was the second pair of witnesses said. Because again, to stress the point. So first, the first plotting witnesses said, it's Tuesday now, it's Tuesday. And they said that on Sunday, he was sentenced by a court. Not just that he killed, he was sentenced by a court on Sunday. And now the new witnesses come and say that it happened, the court happened on Friday. So since it happened already, because it's earlier than the Sunday that they said. So it means for sure the guy was already sentenced to be killed even before the plotting witnesses were saying which day. So you would say for sure you have to let them off because they're trying to kill a guy who's going to be executed. But the further chidush is where it says again, not only that, but even if the second witnesses said that only on Monday was the court, and they're there on Tuesday. So he first said it was Sunday, but it didn't even happen yet. It happened tomorrow, which is Monday. So you would think, since it didn't happen yet, it should be like the first case where he was not sentenced yet. When the guy is not sentenced yet, you do kill the witnesses. So you would think, since Monday is now after when they said it was Sunday, it might look like the first case. So we say, no, even so, since it's Tuesday right now, and Monday they were sentenced, even though you said it was Sunday, we still hold the same way as the first case, whether it was Friday or Monday. As long as they were sentenced, is the point, then we don't kill these plotting witnesses. So that's the stressing of that point again, like it did in the case before. Now one could ask, why did we have to talk about the Seifa, the end of Rava's statement? Meaning, why couldn't we just infer it as the converse? You know, once he says, if the defendant was not sentenced yet, so then we kill the plotting witnesses. So why can't we learn the converse and just say the opposite? So if they were sentenced, or he was sentenced, then we don't kill the plotting witnesses. Why does it have to be stated? So we could say these are matters of life and death. Everything has to be stated. You can't infer and imply when it comes to life and death. That's why everything has to be said. So he said the first part, which we had in the Mishnah, but his main point was to say the second part, and he didn't leave it just to be inferred. It had to be stated that we don't kill the plotting witnesses if the sentence was already passed.